Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, July 17th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 94, that first paragraph, starting with outline the program of action, reading through five sentences, ending, he placed the welfare of other people ahead of his own. And we're going to be reading and commenting on those five sentences only this morning. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Justine F., 12 Traditions, Joanne L., reader of the text, Lorraine N., Abby D., and Betsy H. Reference number for Sunday, July 16th, is 20,445. That's 20445. And for this morning, Monday, July 17th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, reference number is 20,446. That's 20446. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Alex K., and Reggie O. will do the announcements. Thank you so much to everyone for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Justine F. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, Justine F., compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Justine F. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Dawn, thank you for your service and welcome, especially to the newcomers. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 94, the first paragraph, outline the program of action, reading through 5 sentences ending with, that he placed the welfare of other people ahead of his own. Reading and commenting on those 5 sentences only today. I will now ask Lorraine N. to begin reading.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. Lorraine N., a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. Outline the program of action, explaining how you made a self-appraisal, how you straightened out your past, and why you are now endeavoring to be helpful to him. It is important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital part in your own recovery. Actually, he may be helping you more than you are helping him. Before I say anything, I do want to say again that yes, my attempt to pass what I learned here on to others plays a vital, vital role in my recovery. Probably the most important thing after my relationship with my higher power is working with others. And, you know, that's how it happened for me. I reached out for a sponsor and she helped me, and I've been taken through the steps now in visions 2 or 3 times. And, yeah, so, and my endeavoring to pass it on to others is, you know, I do hope and pray for each one that they find food neutrality as I have, excuse me, but I do it so I stay abstinent, and then, you know, I hope that, you know, in doing it, they get help also, but in order for me to stay abstinent, I have to sponsor. So, explaining the program or outlining the program of action is pretty straightforward. I can just refer them to page 58 where it says, here are the steps suggested as a program of recovery. So there it is. It's a program, and I have certainly been programmed while I've been here. Following the steps, you know, on a daily basis, to the best of my ability, which I do imperfectly. And the main thing that I want to share with sponsees, and I share it freely, is my connection to my higher power, because that's when it happened for me. I got abstinent when I got here, but I found food neutrality through cultivating my relationship on a daily basis with my higher power. I never had that before I came here. You know, I had a hateful, mean God, and I never spoke to it, of course. So, you know, my new higher power, I trust and love and believe in, and that was hard to come by. And the book tells me the thing I need is a power. I need a power greater than myself that could help restore me to some kind of relative sanity. So this compulsive overeater was a loose cannon. I'm telling you, self-will run riot my whole life. I came here desperate to stop killing myself with food. And then I realized how desperately I needed God, the good, orderly direction in this book. And I miss the mark frequently, but I keep trudging the road. And, you know, this is where I know I'm a student. I'm a student. I'll always be learning, and I learn from others. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks for the opportunity to share.
Thank you so much, Lorraine N. And just to be clear, we are on page 94, that first paragraph, outline the program of action. That's where we're starting, and we're reading through five sentences. I think, Lorraine, you left off the final two sentences there, but we're reading through five sentences, ending that he placed the welfare of other people ahead of his own. So reading and commenting on those five sentences this morning. So I'd now like to take the names of people who would like to share on these five sentences. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So thank you so much, Lorraine, for getting us started. And who else would like to share on this pair, these five sentences?
Lulu L.
Lulu L.
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
IOA from Southern California.
Okay, IOA.
Joan Marie from Nevada.
Joan Marie. Okay, let's start there. We have Lulu L, Wendy B, IOA, and Joan Marie. Lulu, please get us started.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for your service. And thank you for the lead share. Doesn't matter that you didn't read the rest of the sentences, because I got so much out of that. So thank you for sharing that. This is Lulu L, recovered for today in Florida. I love this paragraph, but then I say that about every single paragraph, right? I love every single paragraph. But the one that pops out for me is actually he may be helping you more than you are helping him. And that is 1,000% true. Every time I work with someone, even when I just share with someone, I am receiving more than I ever give. It's like there's fairy dust that gets scattered all over me and the person I'm working with or talking with. And I do try to encourage people. You know, that sentence suggests how important it is that he placed the welfare of other people ahead of our own. But by placing, by serving, by being a servant and a vessel of God's love pouring through me or through that person, it just boomerangs back. We are so filled with love. And I have a particular little kind of like prayer that I say in the morning. It's taped on my bathroom wall next to my toilet. That's where I wake up in the morning, and I see that I say this prayer: Lord, let my heart be aligned with your love today. Enliven and encourage me throughout the day. Give me the courage to say what needs to be said. Give me the faith to take action on my hopes and dreams. Bless me, and more importantly, let me be a blessing. And so if I start my day with those words, and not just the words, but I feel them in my heart, I am doing the thing that I've been called to do, then I know I'm going to be blessed. And I am so grateful. So thank you. That I love that we get to be on this paragraph. And so thank you so much. for your service, for everyone here on the line, and especially the newcomer. Please come back. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Lulu L., for your beautiful share. Wendy B., please share with us, followed by IOA from California. Go ahead, Wendy. Star one, Wendy.
Oh, sorry about that. I was muted. So thank you so much for that beautiful prayer. So this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona, and where it says he's under no obligation to you. And I looked up the word obligation, and it said legal or moral duty, which renders a person liable to coercion or a binding commitment. And you know, I'm just really glad that this directive is in here, because my natural tendency, you know, is to think, you know, if I do something for you, so you must do, you know, something back for me. You know, like I have strings attached, and you know, and I try to hold people hostage to their commitment. And, you know, I want to force people to stay abstinent, you know, to get recovered, you know, so I can feel like my time wasn't wasted, you know, so I can feel like, you know, I did a good job as a sponsor, you know, so I won't feel like I failed them somehow. And this just helps me remember, you know, that we do this service for free. You know, it's supposed to be altruistic, you know, with no profit motive. And, you know, when I start feeling, you know, like pressuring someone to do something, you know, that's me trying to control, you know, trying to force an outcome. You know, I'm trying to take away their God-given right to choose, you know, to use their free will, you know, to do or not do whatever they want. You know, I'm not God. You know, I don't know what's best for anyone. And, you know, I love that we're learning to present the program so it's attractive to others. You know, we aren't trying to sell people on it by promoting it. You know, if I have an arrogant, self-promoting, you know, my way is best kind of attitude, that'll turn people off, you know, and it's not attractive to them. You know, I get to just stop trying to play God, you know, to control outcomes, and I get to surrender to God being in charge, you know, and giving me my marching orders. You know, if he wants me to just plant a seed, you know, and not see the fruit of it grow, you know, that's his business, you know, and I get to just do whatever service he puts on my plate every day, you know, with a humble attitude, you know, and try to be of service however I can, you know, with no thought of what's in it for me. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. IOA, please share with us.
Hi, good morning. This is IOA from Irvine in Southern California. I'm grateful. I'm recovering compulsive overeater. And I just want to thank the first two people for their shares. What I'm experiencing right now with sponsoring is a huge transition, and trying to talk through it. So one of the experiences that I'm having is that when I was going through the steps and being sponsored and making outreach calls, I had this like real desperation to like talk to people, work through the steps, hear experiences. And this is my first time working through step 12. So it's my first time really putting myself out there as a sponsor. And one of the fears I'm encountering is like the switch between me taking someone's time to be sponsored and do work and assignments, and me being the person that's giving my time. Time is something that has been like really precious in my life because of all of my obligations. So I'm finding that a big part of working step 12 for me is recognizing the sacrifice of time, of setting aside time to work with others And I'm actually very humbled by thinking about all the time that my sponsor set aside to work with me. Like, we spent a lot of time together doing assignments, reading through the big book, answering my questions. And I'm finding myself struggling with thinking about even finding that amount of time in my life to give away. And I know part of it is a mindset. So I just kind of wanted to highlight this idea of sacrifice for another person. And so it's just a transition for me and trying to get my mindset right and continuing to work with my sponsor and just seeing people give away their time and their energy and their experience. And it's just, I think it's a character defect that's coming up. Like, I'm kind of selfish with my time. And I'm not a person that lives on a really strict schedule. So it feels like chaos to me, like, to have to find time. So I just wanted to say that out loud, just in case anybody else is struggling with that. I'm grateful.
Time.
I see this as service as well as me working my program. So I'm so glad we're talking about it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, IOA from California. And before Joan Marie shares, if you're just joining us, I'd like to let you know we're on page 94. And we're talking about the first paragraph, outline, where it starts, outline the program of action. And we're reading through five sentences, ending with that he placed the welfare of other people ahead of his own. And we're reading and commenting on those five sentences only today. So, Joan Marie, please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Good morning. I'm Joan Marie from Nevada. Joan Marie M. Am I being heard?
Yes, we hear you fine. Go ahead. Yep. Star one, Joan.
Good morning. Am I being heard?
Yes, you sure are. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
All right. I had a little problem there. All right. So... so much, you know, I can say all this book is the most important part. But today I'm gearing on outline the program of action. My sponsor really brought that to me strong, that it is work. And the rewards outweigh the work. And also that, you know, my whole attitude, where they straightened out your past, my whole attitude and outlook in life has changed. And then also it's important to me to realize that my attempt to pass this on plays a vital part in my own recovery. So vital is absolutely important and essential. And so that if I don't pass the message on, I will not stay in recovery. And when I say recovered, I mean that I'm placed in a position of neutrality when it comes around with food. And so that's a miracle. And it's all to this program and being willing and open-minded and honest with my sponsor, with God. And that was vital for me, and to do what she asked me to do. And so I'm so grateful to say that I am recovered today, because all through the book it says we have recovered. And so I'm grateful. I know it's not my power. It's God's power, my higher power, working through me. I couldn't do this. I tried so many times to do it on my own, with all the things that many of us have tried, and it doesn't work. And so if I don't help others, I may really slip back, and I don't want to ever go back to that misery, that hopelessness state. And today I have joy in my heart, and, you know, by doing this work, we're doing the work of the Father. And to... love him with all my heart and to love my neighbors as myself. So that sums it up for me. Have a blessed
time.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Joan Marie from Nevada. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on these five sentences. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us today?
Sharon White from Texas.
Who from Texas? I'm sorry, who from Texas?
Diane Weiss.
Diane Weiss. And
Sherry D. From California.
Sherry D.
Z
from California. Okay. All right, I have Diane. Wendy, was it Wendy B? No, Wendy D. Was there a Wendy in there? Maybe I misheard. Okay, I have Diane and I have Sherry Z. Who else was trying to say their name?
Amanda A.
From Idaho.
California.
Was it Deanna?
Annabelle from
Z.
Idaho.
Annabelle Z?
Yes.
Okay,
Luann,
and then and who from Idaho?
Luann.
Luann, very good. And who else?
Amanda A, California.
Amanda A from California. Okay. Anyone else want to get in this lineup?
Denise C from Tennessee.
Denise. Okay, very good. So we'll start with Diane W, Annabelle Z, Sherry Z, Luann, Amanda, and Denise. Diane W., please go ahead and get us started.
Okay, good morning, everybody. It's Diane Y. from Texas. This line about a program of action really strikes me, especially coming off of the weekend. I spent a lot of time with family and with friends, and I am not coming from a place of criticism or judgment, but I am going to say that I was painfully aware of this disease, being surrounded by it. And, you know, I spent a lifetime in denial over this disease. I spent a lifetime talking to people, whining, feeling like a victim. Oh, it's my genetics. Oh, it's my biology. If I just find the right diet, if I just do this particular exercise, you know, and I spent a weekend hearing this kind of stuff, you know, and I try to take opportunities to share the program, and the folks I was talking to really didn't want to hear it. And I'm very grateful. I'm grateful that I finally got the message, as many decades as it took me, finally got the message. This is a program of action. Outlined in the book, it's very clear, it's very simple. Just do it, like the Nike commercial. Just do it, and get out of my head, and get out of the pity pot, and everything else that goes along with this disease. And I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to the people that I've connected with and programmed that share their experience, strength, and hope. And there is a way out. There is a way out. And I'm grateful that I was finally ready to listen. And like someone said earlier, to be teachable. That's all. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Diane Y. from Texas. And Annabelle Z. We would like to hear your share as well. So Annabelle Z. followed by Sherry Z.
Good morning. Thank you, moderator. My name is Annabelle Z. I'm from Everett, Washington, recovered compulsive overeater. I'm so glad we read this paragraph this morning. What stood out to me is the second and third sentences. It is important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital role in your own recovery. And it says to me two things. For one thing, I just need to attempt to do it. I don't have to do it perfectly. There's no wrong. It's just my own experience. And just, it's an attempting to pass it on. I don't have to make sure they understand or make sure that someone gets my way or what. It's just the attempt itself. And so that plays the vital part of my recovery, or one of the vital parts of my recovery. And then, of course, I can't stress enough how much sponsoring has helped my recovery. When two times that I've picked up, I never like really, well, I changed my abstinent date, but it wasn't like a full binge or full relapse. I just picked up something I shouldn't have, and I didn't feel right about it. It was obsessive and compulsive, and so I changed my abstinent date. But both of those times, I was not working with sponsees. Both of those times, I was not reaching out to fellows that I didn't sponsor. It was all about being isolated, and really only for a few days. It didn't take much. And so I have also a very, very busy life. And one of my sponsees is, you'll be sharing after me, is retired and has all the flexibility in the world and a lot of time. And I just, you know, I engage with that as much as I possibly can, but I don't beat myself up when I forget. And that's the cool thing, is it's just like when I raise my kids, I think, if I forgot something or if I mess up, I was always really careful to say, I'm sorry, mommy, screwed up. You know, I made a mistake. I'm going to try not to do that again. And they're so forgiving, you know. And I do try my best to be on time and not forget things. But I'm not perfect. And I think that's part of also teaching that it's okay to not be perfect. I think so many times is when I've been a sponsee, I've worried that I'm not perfect enough for my sponsor. And it's just nothing to do with working the program. It's just like should be out of anyone's mind. But invariably, you know, it's on our minds when we're trying to do what we want to do for the sponsor. I do the same thing all these years in. I want to impress my sponsor. And of course, I'm very unimpressive to my sponsor, I'm very sure. You know, I forget to put my food, and then I have to do it at the end of the day. And sometimes I forget a day or two in a row. And it's okay, because they're just attempting to pass it on to me. And she's staying abstinent, and I'm staying abstinent that same way. So also, they're under no obligation. Like, they're not obligated to me. And I think we say too often in program, like, well, you've got to do this and you must do that. And there are a lot of musts in the big book. But it's just, it's really just my attempt to pass this on, and they're going to do with it what they're going to do. So that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Annabelle Z from Washington. Sherry Z, please share with us, followed by Luann.
Good morning, visionaries, and thank you all for your service. It's so nice to Monday morning to wake up and to be on a meeting like every day. So for years in program before I was recovered, I thought sponsoring was to keep me abstinent, to keep me from picking up. And so then I would pick up, relapse, and then I would fail my sponsees and I'd have to quit them, and it would be this whole thing. And it says right here, actually, he may be helping you more than you're helping him. And I thought that helping me was keeping me abstinent. But what's happened with sponsorship is that it's allowed me to make a self-appraisal and straighten out my past with no expectation. It's not, oh, just to keep my food in check. It's allowed me to straighten out my past, and it's allowed me to look at relationships and situations of the past. And in recovery, I totally reconciled with my brother after 30 years. And it's because I'm recovered. Nothing has changed. He and I, everything has changed and nothing has changed. And it's allowed me to straighten out my past. And the reason is because I sponsor. And I've learned with sponsees how to not be judgmental, how to be accepting, how to suggest, how to be kind, how to not make it about me, how to not be perfectionistic. All those tools that I learned in sponsoring, is that time? Oh, all those tools I learned in sponsoring was what enabled me to straighten out my past with my brother. So these are the gifts of the program that allow us to be helped way more than we even could imagine. So just thank you. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry Z from California. Luann C, please share with us, followed by Amanda.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and thanks everybody who's on service here today. And I'm Luann C, recovered in Boise, Idaho. And what is standing out for me is that part where it says vital part of my own recovery. And I'm thinking to when I first started sponsoring, and I have a really tight schedule. And, you know, how am I going to possibly fit these people into my schedule and be there and be present to them? And I was very filled with anxiety. And so what I would do is that, you know, the thing in the morning where we're saying, you know, this is what I plan on doing for today. But invariably, you know, God just blew my schedule out of the water, and somebody cancels, and then somebody steps in, and, you know, and then my schedule opens up. And, you know, for me, this is a process of learning how to trust that God's got me. This is his program. He's got me. Of course he's going to make it so that I can be present, because I'm trying to do his will. And so I, you know, go back to the other part where it says I'm a very undisciplined person, and so God is gently disciplining me in his way. And it's such a much better way. So I'm learning how to trust. And so anyway, I just am so grateful to be here, and thank you all. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Luann C. Amanda A., please share with us, followed by Denise C.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and thank you so much, Dawn, for your service this morning. I'm so grateful for this meeting. My name's Amanda A., and I'm very gratefully recovered in Southern California. And what a beautiful line to wake up to on a Monday morning, outlining the program of action. This has been a theme for me over the past couple of days. I am just so grateful that I am able to come to this meeting and read this with all of you and help to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters who are struggling. I have found that I need to be in this program every single day, every single minute of every single day, because if I'm not, it is so quickly my disease takes back over, and so quickly everything can slip, and me not being in this action and me not attempting to carry this message to other people who are still suffering, I would absolutely lose my abstinence and everything that I had. But then to be able to help other people see this gift and find their higher power is just so beautiful. And although I have no control over anyone else's outcome, to be able to help share my story and help carry this message is such a gift from God. And I'm so grateful that I'm able to do that. So with that, I will pass this morning. Thank you so much, everyone on the line as well.
Thank you, Amanda A. from California. Denise C. is going to be sharing with us, but just a quick reminder, we're on page 94, the first paragraph, talking about those first five sentences there where it starts, outline the program of action, through five sentences ending with that he placed the welfare of other people ahead of his own. So Denise, please share with us, and then I'll take some more names.
Good morning, Denise C., recovered in Tennessee. I just wanted to share, at first I really did not want to sponsor. I think I would have done anything not to have to put myself out there, because I was not relying on my higher power. I was relying on myself. But now things have changed. I've come further along in my program, and I'm starting to embrace sponsoring, and because I realize that I am just a vessel, and I'm there to share my experience, strength, and hope, and it's not about me. And I actually, you know, the more I talk about it, I look forward to it. I look forward to sharing with someone else. That's where the power happens in sharing. And I'm very thankful that I didn't give up, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Denise C. from Tennessee. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in these five sentences. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Kim A.
Kim A.
Chaya P.
Chaya P. And one more name?
Hannah B.
Hannah B. Okay, very good. Kim A., please share with us, followed by Chaya P., and then Hannah B. Kim A., go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning. This is Kim A. from New York City. You know, when this book was outlining the basic program of action, there was something like a 75% recovery rate. They talk about that in, I think, one of the forewords. And now the recovery rate has plummeted all these years later, both in AA and OA. And it's because, you know, we got away from studying this document and started putting our own spin on things. And that's something that, you know, in the past I had done plenty of times. I tried to do everything my way instead of just even understanding that this book was, you know, the directions for recovery. And so when they talk about this program of action refers to working the steps. It doesn't refer to making X number of phone calls a day or having a list of alcoholic foods or, you know, avoiding certain ingredients or, you know, to keep it back to the people who this book was intended for, the alcoholic. It doesn't refer to, you know, staying away from bars and, you know, not having alcohol in the house. This just refers to following the steps. The steps are the program of action that the pioneers took, right? This is not penned by an author. This is their experience. So if we could just, or I'll keep it in the eye, if I could just stop thinking about it, right? Stop putting my own spin on stuff, stop adding stuff that's not there, and stop doing it in a way that I think is right, then I'm going to get the results that 75% of those people got. Because when I put my own spin on stuff and my thinking comes into play, it's my best thinking that got me here. So I need to just shut up, listen to my sponsor. If she tells me I need to sponsor, then I need to trust that she's being led by her higher power to tell me that that's what I need to do, and that is part of the program of action. You know, yes, there's a lot of ways to carry the message. There's a lot of really important ways to do service, and I'm not taking away from that. But, you know, if I'm going to think too much about sponsoring and I'm going to let my ego come into it and I'm going to let my selfishness and my lack of confidence come into it, then I'm not going to be able to keep this recovery. I just need to kind of almost have like tunnel vision when it comes to following this program of action. And that's what I've done. And that's what's now gotten me here, because instead of relying on my own thinking, I'm just relying on, you know, looking to my higher power for that next right thought or action and doing what the book says to do. I'll pass with that. Thanks. This is Kim A. in New York City. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kim A. from New York. Chaya P., please share with us, followed by Hannah B. And if you could both take two-minute shares, that would get us through the end of the meeting. Thank you so much. Chaya P., please share.
Hi, can I be heard?
You sure can.
Okay, great. I'm actually going to pass because something came up over here, so I'll take it. So I will defer to the next person, and then I'll do it another day. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Hannah B., please share with us.
Hi, Hannah B. from Tennessee, gratefully recovered compulsive eater. I'm really grateful for the directions in this book, and I'm really grateful. Thank you for everyone's share. And it's just, I just love like getting into these sentences. It's like, and I just love that there's something new that jumps out at me every time I read them, and I allow myself to really absorb and listen to what other people have to shed on it too. You know, and to work with someone else is helping me more, you know, and I'm really learning this time to completely stay out of the results and also to have no strings attached, like someone else mentioned, you know, and there's, you know, and I say this to people, you know, about there being no obligation to me. This has nothing to do with me. This has nothing to do with me. And it for a lot of years when I sponsored, my ego was very wrapped up in it, and it was all about me. And I sponsored the way I was sponsored for a long time, and I was actually in another program. I was in a 16-year-long relationship with a sponsor who fostered excessive codependency and was very sick, and I didn't realize it. And I thought there was an obligation to her. And as a result of that, I didn't come into this program because I was believing that. And so it's such a relief to be able to be of service and just say, this isn't about me. And anytime there's a struggle or conflict or I start getting onto their side of the street, I've made it about me. And then I'm doing a dance with their disease or my disease. And so it's so great to just step back and go, no, we're just going to follow the plan outlined in this book. Like, it's that simple, you know. And I can allow that person the dignity of their own path and their own. And I can say, you know, congratulations, or, you know, well, not congratulations, depending on what they want to do, but, you know, that's fine. Whatever you want to do, that's wonderful. You do what you want to do or you need to do if they're not willing to follow the plan outlined in this book. So, yeah, and that it's vital part of my recovery. Like, this is vital. It's absolutely necessary if I want to escape, right, my own difficulties. And I don't want to be in bondage to this disease, so because that's not life-giving, and to have something be vital is life-giving. So I'm just grateful for you all, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Hannah B. Well, we have time for about a one-minute share. Is there someone who has not shared in the last few days who would like to share with us?
Cheryl A.D.
Cheryl A.D., go ahead.
Thank you so much, Dawn, and thank you, everybody. This is Cheryl A.D. from Ventura, California, recovered compulsive overeater. I wanted to just focus for 1 minute on the word welfare and, you know, place the welfare of others ahead of our own, their well-being, their needs. That doesn't mean that I abandon my own welfare. It simply means that I seek my higher power's will. How may I best serve thee? And seek that answer and do that with the person that I'm working with and seek it in all things. Thank you so much for this meeting and this recovery. I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl A.D. from California. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Abby D. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Star 1, Abby.
Hi, good morning. This is Abby D. from Michigan. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, sorry about that delay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.